Okay. So everyone saw the Balmar Ramban at this point? Okay. So we have a din. Well, we have a lot of dinim that we're rushing through, but if you see the Gemaras, they come together, and if you've read the Rambam, so it comes together. It's actually not... He still works backwards a little bit in the Rambam, but if you read through the Rambams in Perakei and Sedei Torah, so you come up with certain rules. So in some instances, it's just easier to use the Rambam, just because it's more put together as opposed to in the form of a Shakavitarya. So in the second halacha in Perakei, the Rambam says, "Bamed Ramum b'shar mitzvos chutz me'avodas gacham gilares shiches dam." The big three, but these shalosh averos im yamar lo avor al achas men oteharig. You should be killed rather than violate the Avera in these three instances. Unlike Shar Mitzvos, but in these three instances you should. Bamedvam Murim, Bizman Sha Ovikov Miskavin Lahanas Atmo, Kigonsha Ansel live no slow base of Shabbos, Lubasha Lo Tabshilo, Anas Isha Libo Allah, Uchyot Bizeh. Abom Niskavin Lahavir Allah Mitzvos Bilvad, Imhayabin Olivin At, meaning in a case of Shar Mitzvos, and he was Mechavin Lahavir Allah Das. Then there's no 10 Jews, so then Yahavar Baharig. Bim Anso Lahaviro Basar Misrael, if it's in public, Vinikdashti Besuch Bene Israel, so then Afilu knows Gavin Lahaviro, Elal Mitzvah Mishar Mitzvah Bilvad, still your Yahavar Vayavar. Okay. So in the Balamor and Ramban, you find a major machlokas Rishonim. Machlokas Rishonim is about multiple things, but it has many, many nafkaminas in terms of understanding, first of all, when Yahavar Vayavar applies. But also, what it gets to the bottom of is really what the pshat in Yahar Be'Avor is in the different mitzvahs, meaning in the Gilur Eshvich Dam and Avodah Zarah, as well as Bashar mitzvahs when it's a Befar Hesir or when it's Shas Hashmad. What's the mechayiv in all of those instances in Yahar Be'Avor? So, reading the Balamor Ramban gets you a long way in terms of understanding those details. So, the Balamor here discusses the fact that we hold the Yahar Be'Avor Befar Hesya, even by Shar Averos. If it's La'avurei, meaning if it's La'aver La'adas, stam to make us violate Averos, so then you have to be Yahar Be'Avor. But if it's La'anas Atzmo, meaning the guy has some personal benefit from making you violate, he gets a kick out of it, it's for his own pleasure, so then the person does not need to be Moser Nefesh in such a scenario. And what the Balamor's Mechadish, a Chiddush Atzim, what is Mechadish in this case, is that, I don't know, we'll call it a heter, whatever, that exemption, or that exclusion, that exception applies not only to Shar Mitzvos, but it also applies to the Gimel Chamuros, correct? I mean, the Balamor says that if you have a case of Lahanas Atzmo by Gilur Eshvich Zdamim and Avodah Zarah, so we would still say, Ya'avor v'al yeharig, even in the case of the Gimel Chamuros. And that's a major, major chiddush, but he seems to have arrived from Afna Gemara. He says, from the Gemara Nam Amud Beis, that it was aser for Esther to engage in a rayos with Achashverosh because it was Farhesya. But the heter for her to be Nivela was the fact that he was doing it Lehanas Atzmo, that Achashverosh was doing it Lehanas Atzmo. Meaning the Gemara never asked from Gila Raios. That's what Tosus struggled with already on the page. We're going to come back to that B'nai Adarim Hashem. The Gemara doesn't ask from Gila Raios. The Gemara asks from Farhesya. And the pshat is that really, since it was Lahanas Atzmo, there was no Chiv al Gila Raios to give up her life. Rather, it's because it was Farhesya. And then, okay, then we have Gemara's that answer. Either now we see that Hanas Atzmo is a Ptur, even in Farhesya, and or Karka Olam is its own patur that applies here as well. Okay, each thing we just said, you could talk about the having of the maskana. What did the Gemara assume before? Did Karka Olam not apply and now it does apply? Did Anas Atmo not apply and now it does apply? And if so, what changed the maskana? And also whether Rav and Abaye are saying two separate answers or Mara Machad Lo Pligi, those are all points of discussion. We're not going to get to everything, but they're all important to think about. Okay, so even though Esther was an Ishizish, it was Taka Mutter for to be Achashverus Alts Gila Raios because it was Lahanas Atzmo, Elamai Bifarhesia, and then the Gemara has to give answers to the Farhesia problem. Okay. The second Raya that we'll come back to at least briefly, that the Balamor brings over here, is from the case of Kvaki Demyoniki, some sort of frying pans or heaters that the Gayim would use on a Yom Edom, that the Minhag was that they would cuddle up next to a fire and warm themselves up. So they would demand from the citizens of the city that they should each contribute the heaters, the frying pans to use for heating that day of the year. So to give over those kvaki dimyonki is mutter, and the Baal HaMor says the reason is because it's really only lahnas atzman. They're not trying to get us to worship Avodah Zarah. It's not even, I'm not saying a sheet here. I'm just saying it's not 100% clear to me if, let's just say, the Jew is definitely not doing Avodah Zarah by giving the frying pan or the heater over to the non-Jew. That's for sure. That's clear. Is it an Avodah Zarah practice what they do when they heat up by the fire? I thought from Rashi it seems it's not actually an Avodah Zarah practice. It's associated with Avodah Zarah. Meaning it involved in that day of Avodah Zarah. I don't know. I'm not sure if it's a good mashal or not, but like, when you're keeping Xmas, so you also snuggle on the couch and open the presents next to the fireplace. The fireplace is not part of the Avodah Zarah, but it's part of the day of the holiday. So, I don't know, it sounded something more like that to me in Rashi. Not 100% clear, I don't know if anyone thought about that, but I'm not sure it was an Avodah Zarah practice to heat up the house with the ovens. Does that make sense? But it is associated with Avodah Zarah, and that should have been problematic. Elamai, it's Lahanas Atzmo, and it's Bitsina, so it's not Yehar Ve'Yavor. Or let's just say, it's Lahanas Atzman, sorry, it's Lahanas Atzman, so it's not Yehar Ve'Yavor. Yeah. So what's the pshat in the Baal HaMor? So we're still getting to levels, we're not there yet. But the pshat in the Baal HaMor is like this. What's the mechayiv in Yehar Ve'Yavor? So the Baal HaMor is assuming that the mechayiv in Yehar Ve'Yavor, this is going to be clearer once we see the Ramban and we see the contrast, but the mechayiv in Yehar Ve'Yavor is Kiddush Hashem. Meaning, when an Anas comes and says, me, choose you, your life, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, and you choose HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, that's a Kiddush Hashem. And if you choose your life, so that would be a Chilul Hashem. But the mechayiv is kiddush Hashem. The mechayiv is that a person is being given the ultimatum, a showdown between the anas and the Torah. So if you can construe a case where that showdown is not really about Hashem versus Hashem's Torah versus the guy, but rather it's about something else entirely, so then you wouldn't have a mechayiv of Yehar Ve'Yavor. For example, even though it's true that if I put a gun to your head and say worship Avodah Zarah, that's me versus the Torah, but if I say I put a gun to your head and tell you to worship Avodah Zarah only because it's gishmak for me, it's a hanas atzmi, but not because I'm trying to be ma'avir you on the das, so then in such a case, it's not Hashem versus the Torah, it's this guy getting benefit for himself. It's not going to be a Yehar Ve'Yavor in such a case. So it's not going to be a chil Hashem unless it's mamash a showdown between the dinei Torah and the Anas. But if it's the Anas is just doing it for his own kicks, it takes away the mechayev of Yehar Ve'Yavor, which is why the Baal HaMor says that's not only true Bifar Hesia, which is, let's just say for now, seems to obviously be a mechayev of Kiddush Hashem, because from the pasuk of Vinigdashi B'Sof Bnei Yisrael, that when it's Bifar Hesia, that's considered a Chil Hashem or Kiddush Hashem, depending on your decision. But even by the Gimel Chamuros, that's also a mechayev of Kiddush Hashem. Hashem's Torah is up against this Anas. So if the Anas is only doing it for his own benefit, it's not really a war against the Torah. It's just that he wants to get a Gishmak out of Gilui Arayos with Esther. So that's not going to be Yehar Ve'Yavor in such a case, because the mechayev of Kiddush Hashem is removed. Yeah. If you look at the Ramban, so the Ramban argues on like every detail, but also what it comes out is that he thinks specifically, by the Gimel Chamuros, when you have the three big ones, so it doesn't matter, even if it's Lahanas Atzman, there's still a Mechayiv of Yehar Ve'Yavor. Even if there is a case of the guy wants one of these Gimel Chamuros to be done, because it's a Gishmak for him, because he gets a Gishmak out of it, even so, the Ramban assumes it's still a case of Yehar Ve'Yavor. The big three inherently are Mechayiv and Yehar Ve'Yavor. Why? So here you don't need to speculate. The Ramban tells us explicitly. He says that the din of Yehar Ve'Yavor by the Gilarai Shvichas Damim and Avodah Zarah, we learn each of them from a limud, or we learn two of them, two different limudim, but the din, what it represents, is that they are gimel chamuros, as we refer to them, meaning there's a chamiros halav, there's a chamiros of avera, that these averos are so chamer that you have to pay the ultimate price not to violate them. So, if you have a situation in which a guy or a Jew, okay, Rashi on the bottom of the page, but if you have a case where someone is telling you that you have to violate the gimel chamuros because they are so chamer, you have to give up your life rather than violate the avera. That is true no matter what the guy's intention is. Even if his intention is lahanas atzmo, it doesn't really matter because it's a case of chil Hashem when the stakes are so high that we're talking about the big three. It's automatically a case of chil Hashem. So doing the avera themselves, doing these averas themselves, is already an issue of kiddush Hashem. You can't change that based on the context of what the guy is thinking in telling you to do so. What about the Baal HaMor's proofs? What about the Baal HaMor's proofs? The Baal HaMor had two proofs, two rayas. One was from Esther, and the other was from Kvaki Demyoniki, the fire pans, whatever those things. So, in terms of Esther, Farhasya Da'ak Amara, Ramban says himself, he says that this is not a case of Gilui Arayos. The reason why the Gemara doesn't present as Veha Esther Gilui Arayos Hava is because the case of Esther was not Gilui Arayos. Why? Because this is an involved machlokas Rishonim. But the presumption he has is that when you have a Goy Haba Al Bas Yisrael, that is not Gilui Arayos. It's an Isser, it's a Lav. What the Lav is, we could talk about, but it's not a Gilui Arayos proper. It's not a Rayos. And if it's not a Rayos, it's not Yehargla Yavar. We spoke of that last time we had a Chabur together upstairs, that the only thing we say Yehargla Yavar on is not Stam Isure Bia, but Arayos, Gilui Arayos. So it doesn't fit into the category of Arayos. That's why the Gemara didn't use that pushback. When it comes to Kvaki Demyoniki, so we'll come back, Bli Neder Mitzvah Hashem, to what the Ramban's pushback is there, but he has to deal with that Raya as well. So just one thing I once heard from Rav Tversky. We spent a long time learning the Sugyas of Kiddush Hashem. So he suggested at some point that the Machlokas, the two Deos, in our Tosfos on Ayin Dalal and Beis, which is also the Machlokas, the two Deos and Tosfos on Gimel and Beis in Maseches Ksubis, is potentially Tali in this very Machlokas. Meaning, Rabbeinu Tam has a raya that the Bias Akum is not considered Gilui Arayos, Zirmas Susim, Zirmasam, even for an Eishes Ish. And he says that's why the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Ayin Dalet, our Gemara, only asked why Esther wasn't Moser Nefesh, Harei she was Bifar Hesya. So why wasn't she Moser Nefesh? The Gemara didn't say because she was an Eishes Ish, she should have been Moser Nefesh. The Rabbeinu Tam understands from there and then proves that Zirmas Zuzim Zirmasam, that this wasn't the form of Gilui Arayos because it was just the Bias Akum after all. The Rivam disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam. He thinks it is a Gilui Arayos and therefore it should be a Harg Vayavar for an Eishes Ish to be Neveles to a guy. What do you do with the Gemara Sanhedrin? So the Rivam explains that the Gemara knew the Svara and the Chiluk really of Karka Olam. And that again, that you could be mechalik between active and passive, and if you've seen already, or if you're going to see, Reb Chaim deals with the fact that the Rambam does not seem to have such a chiluk, a distinction between teharig b'al ta'avor and yeharig b'al ya'avor. But the Gemara knew that there was such a chiluk, because Tosas assumed the chiluk. The Gemara knew that the gave, the gimel chamuros, where the mechayiv is actually the maisa aveira, the chamiros of the aveira. So if one is totally passive, he didn't do the Maisa Vera, or she didn't do the Maisa Vera, so therefore Yehar Ve'yavor shouldn't apply, and that was the Pashat assumption of the Gemara. Meaning, because the Isser of Gilurais is so Chamer, you usually have to give up your life. But if you're doing it in a very, or not even doing it, if you're just sitting back and the Isser happens, a person didn't violate the Chamiris Halav. And therefore, Karka Olam was Pashat to the Gemara, which is why the Gemara didn't ask, Beha Esther Arayos Havya. No, it is Arayos, but she was passive, it was Karka Olam, so we don't have to answer that. The Gemara answers, says something different, Farhesya, and then the Gemara pushes back to that and says, Karka Olam still applies in the case of Farhesya. Fine, that's Vaita Neshak of Targa. But the reason the Gemara didn't raise the objection of Arayos is because it is Arayos, but it's Karka Olam, and that never bothered us. Shar Averos be Farhesya bothers us, but not Gilui Arayos be Karka Olam. So what the Rivam is obviously assuming is that there is a critical and fundamental distinction between Karka Olam and an active violation of an Avera. Now the only way you could possibly say that is if you think that you have the understanding of the Ramban, that the Mechayiv in Yehar Vayavar by the Gimel Chamuros is the Avera itself. If the Avera itself is the Mechayiv, so then when I'm active, I understand I have to give up my life. But if it's Karka Olam, I'm going to be passive, so it's Pasha to the Gemara, that even by the Gimel Chamuras, Karka Olam is a Ptur. Why? Because in the case of Karka Olam, the Chamiras Halav is lessened significantly, lessened drastically, so the Rivam is assuming, like the Ramban, in terms of the Mechayev and Yehar Vayavar by the Gimel Chamuras. However, if you assume like the Baal HaMaor, who thinks that the Mechayev and Yehar Vayavar, even by the Gimel Chamuras, by everything, is Kiddush Hashem, is the fact that there's a showdown between the Ribbono Shel'olam's Torah and the Anas, so then who cares whether you are Karka Olam or whether you're active? Again, you definitely could make up an argument that the Baal Mor would still be able to agree to the Rivam. But the Pshutam Shal Dvarim is that if you assume that the Mechayiv is that Isurim of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah should not be violated, so then whether it's passive or whether it's active, if the Torah is violated, if the Isur is performed, then that would be Mechayiv in Kiddush Hashem. So therefore, if you learn like the Baal Mor, and you assume more like Rabbeinu Tam, again, first of all, it's Pashat that he assumes like Rabbeinu Tam because he assumes it's Arayos, to have the case of Esther Zarayos, even if it's a Nachri Abbas Yisrael. But additionally, the answer to the Gemara's ignoring the case of Arayos in our Gemara, the Baal Mor will be more in line with Rabbeinu Tam. Yeah. So the Baal Mor, we said, brought two Rayos. One of them... Really, three Rayos. We'll come back. Maybe we'll come back to the third also. First Raya was the Gemara in our Gemara about Esther. Fine, so we're dealing with that. We're saying that's a Machlokas Ramban and Baal Mor in terms of how to learn the Gemara, and maybe that comes out of Tosas, at least one day in Tosas, maybe both days in Tosas are representative of the two sides of that Machlokas. Additionally, we mentioned the Baal Mor brought a Raya from the Kvaki Demyoniki, these frying pans, these heaters, these utensils. So the Gemara says we're allowed to give those pans or whatever to the Goyim, and that's a case, the Gemara says, of Lahanas Atzman. So the Baal Mor says, Zemefunda, this Gemara shows us that Avodah Zarah is mutter in a case of Hanas Atzman, which is the Baal Mor's whole argument over here, which is that even the Gimel Chamuros, if it's a case of Lahanas Atzman, there's no Yehar Vayavor anymore. And as we explained, because now it's no longer a question of Kiddush Hashem, it's just the guy getting a Gishmak, so the Mechayev disappears, gets cut out from underneath, and there's no longer a Mechayev of Kiddush Hashem. Yeah? That's the Baal Mor's Raya. Good? So the Ramban has a pushback, correct? The Ramban has a pushback on this Raya. We already spoke about Esther, so let's talk about Kvaki Demyoniki, that case. Just so you know, I closed my computer, but I had it there for a second, although it wouldn't help anyways. The Ramban in Torah Sa'adam talks about this also. So if you look in Torah Sa'adam, Shara Sakana, or whatever it's called, I think it's called Shara Sakana, so the Ramban has a discussion about Yehar Vayavar in general, Abizrayu of Arayos and everything. So in that context, he brings up this question of the Kvaki Demyoniki by Avodah Zarah, and he deals with it as well. So how does the Ramban deal with it here? How does he deflect the Baal Mor's Raya? So he says, the case of giving these frying pans over to the Goyim is not really a case of Avodah Zarah. Right? What is it? It's Lifnei Iver. That's what the Ramban says, black and white. He says in Torah Sa'adam also, it's Lifnei Iver, it's an Isser of Lifnei Iver to give the Goyim these utensils to then use in association with Avodah Zarah. And Achanami, the Gemara says that's Mutter, but that's only because it's Lifnei Iver, which is not an Isser Avodah Zarah proper. Meaning, if the question was, do Avodah Zarah so that I get a Geshmak, or I'll kill you, Avad, you have to give up your life. Why? Because the Ramban says, the Chamiris of Avodah Zarah that you're doing, obviously is Mechayiv you to give up your life instead of violating Avodah Zarah. Even if the guy has a hana'a from it, and he's doing it lahanas atzmo, that doesn't change the fact that you're violating the chamer dika isser of Avodah Zarah, one of the worst isurim you could possibly imagine, and you're not giving up your life, that's terrible. It doesn't matter what the intention of the anas is. The Gemara says you can give these pots, these frying pans to the goyim. No, that's because that's not actually Avodah Zarah. It's lahanas atzman, and it's only lifnei iver. So it's shar isurim, lahanas atzman. That's what the Ramban argues by the Kvaki Demyoniki, that it's Shar Yisurim, it's Lifnei Iver, which is not actually a lava of Avodah Zarah. And you can't say, based on this Gemara, that Gimel Averos, the Gimel Chamuros, are Mutter, B'Chiyai Gavna, they have Lahanas Atzmo. No. Even if it's Lahanas Atzmo, if it was Mamish, the Gimel Chamuros would be Yehar Vayavor. Elamai, this case is not one of Mamish Gimel Chamuros, it's just Lifnei Iver on Avodah Zarah. Yeah, everyone good so far? I didn't add anything yet, right? Correct? Right, exactly. Meaning, I guess I didn't think of this, but I guess what Ellie was sort of saying just now, the actual avodah of Avodah Zarah, maybe you couldn't draw up a case technically of lahanas atzman, because it's sacrificial, it's religious, it's like doing actions. But here we have this unique case of Abizrayu of Avodah Zarah, which is still potentially a Yehar Vayavor, but it's not the act of worship. It's just associated with the act of worship. So it's enough to be Avodah Zarah, but it's not the type of Avodah Zarah that you can't imagine being Hanas Atzman.
Why is that a riot that theoretically real Avodah Zarah Hanas Atzman would be okay?
Because those are assumed to Abizrai, each Isser ve'Abizraihu is Yerhag ve'Yavor. Those aren't two separate, there aren't separate dinim.
Assuming that Abizrai is the exact same thing as Avodah Zarah, doesn't he have to also make that assumption?
I think that is the assumption. In terms of Yerhag ve'Yavor, that is the assumption. I think so. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, it happens to be, I'm open right now to the one about Bava Machteres, but I think it is true. I was like, I don't think he says anything you're saying here. Like,
the Baal Amor just thinks there's no Hanas Atzman. You say, do a Avodah Zarah because I want you to do a Avodah Zarah. That's not a real Hanas. But if you help me do a Avodah Zarah, which is a Avodah Zarah for me, Abizrai is for you, that's a real Hanas for me. You helped me do the Maisa.
That's also good, yeah.
That's his Chiluk.
Yeah.
I just wondering why that's a riot for Avodah Zarah Atma, which, I mean, a hypothetical, it doesn't exist, but a hypothetical Avodah Zarah Atma, which is Lahana.
Yeah, because they should be exactly equal, yeah. That's how the Baal Amor starts. The Baal Amor starts by proving Abizrai was the same as the... That's what you're saying? Yeah, that's how the Baal Amor starts the paragraph. The first paragraph on the right side. Okay, but... Good? So common explanation as follows. It's like it's asking for it. It's like if you open the Kovetz Yisachiris, you're for sure going to find this. So the common explanation of what is the Baal Amor's pushback? The Ramban has a good shot. It's only Lifnei Iver to give over the Kvaki Demyoniki to the Gayim. It's not Mamish the Isra Avodah Zarah. So that's why it's a Mutter Lanas Atzman. But Mehechit is a Raya from there that even Avodah Zarah Mamish would be Mutter Le Hanas Atzman. So the Baal Amor is stuck. No, he's in a corner. What's his raya? So what's the obvious pushback? Lifnei Iver. You could learn two different ways. It could be that Lifnei Iver is like the Ramban says, that there's an Isra Avodah Zarah, but then separately, distinctly, there's an independent mitzvah of Lifnei Iver, which is that a person is not allowed to trip up someone else physically with Eitzah and in doing Isurim, in our case, in doing Isurim. So that's Shara Averos, you have a heter of Hanas Atman. Says the Baal Amor, no, a different way to learn Lifnei Iver. This question does come up also in Rishonim, but especially in Achronim. No, Lifnei Iver you learn differently. Lifnei Iver is not its own protheistic separate Isser, separate mitzvah, but rather it's licht in every single mitzvah in the Torah is the Lifnei Iver on that mitzvah. So it's usher to do Avodah Zarah, and it's usher by dint of the Isser Avodah Zarah, it's usher to trip someone else up in Avodah Zarah. It's within, it's toch each and every mitzvah. So if you say that way, that fundamentally Lifnei Iver is really linked to each mitzvah itself and not a separate and distinct iser, so then maybe the Baal Amor will respond, no, it is Lifnei Iver, Abadi, you're correct, the Ramban. It is Lifnei Iver. But Lifnei Iver is Avodah Zarah. Lifnei Iver is the iser Avodah Zarah. It is the Avodah Zarah iser, so therefore you do have a taka raya from Lifnei Iver and Avodah Zarah to Avodah Zarah in general. That's the easy explanation. If you want to look inside, so Rabbi Chanan has this. Rabbi Chanan has this in Kovitz Aros in Simin Mem Ches. So he's clearing a Shiloh whether Lifnei Iver should be considered Lav Shebechlalos or not. And he thinks it's totally on this question of whether it's each independent Isser has Lifnei Iver within it, or Lifnei Iver is just an overarching Isser that then applies to each mitzvah, but it's not lying within every mitzvah itself. He thinks that's the tliya for that chakira. In that context, he says that's this chakira is the pshat in the machlokas Baal Amor and Ramban. So the pshat in the machlokas Baal Amor and Ramban is whether Lifnei Iver is within each mitzvah, and therefore you would say like the Baal Amor, or no, it's its own separate avera, and therefore it's not a raya that Avodah Zarah proper would have a heter of Lahanas Atzman. Yeah, so I've heard this multiple times over the past decade from Rav Tursky, and he does not think that's a pshat in the Baal Amor at all. And the basic reason, now this is going to bother some people because it's going to sound like you can't say this side of the chakira, which is true, but he says it's very, very difficult to understand the side of the chakira that Lifnei Iver lies within every mitzvah. Hello, the Gemara's examples in Avodah Zarah, Dav Vav, Dav Zayin, wherever, I think Dav Vav, where the Gemara talks about Lifnei Iver, so the Gemara says, Iver Menachai to a guy, fine, but also says, Kos Yayin Lenazir. Moshe Kos Yayin Lenazir. So I'm going to give my cup of wine to, I think we had another in the basement this morning. So if I'm going to give my cup of wine to a Nazir, so that's an Isser of Lifnei Iver. So what are we saying? We're saying that Jonah Steinmetz violated the Isser of drinking wine as a Nazir? But I'm not a Nazir. Not that you know. Meaning, I'm not a Nazir. So what does that mean, that I violated Isser and Nazir? So okay, you could say, you could put on your Lamdas glasses and try to find a way to inspect it and see that, no, we'll shaft on you an Isser and Nazir, fine, but it's not the Pshutam Shaldarim. The Pshutam Shaldarim is that there's an Isser of Lifnei Iver for me to be Machshel you in your Isurim. But it's not my Isser of Kos Yayin Lenazir when I'm Machshel you in Kos Yayin as a Nazir. So it's very difficult to understand that side of things. So as opposed to that, Rav Tversky always suggests that the Baal Mor may very well agree that Lifnei Iver is an independent Isser. It's not a Chal Hashem Isser of the Hachshala. But he still thinks the case of Kvaki Demyoniki are Shaykh to Avodah Zarah, and the reason is as follows. The Baal Mor is not saying that Lifnei Iver takes on the nature of the Isser. He's saying that we misunderstood what Abizrayu is, and therefore what all of Avodah Zarah is. It's not that you a Maisa Avodah Zarah is Mechayiv in Yehargla Yavor. The Cheftza of Avodah Zarah is Mechayiv in Yehargla Yavor. Meaning, even if you could construe a case in which a person is not actually doing the act of the Avera, but rather they are associating with, they are shtelling tzu to the Avera, to the Cheftza Shel Avera of Avodah Zarah, so that's already Mechayiv in Yehargla Yavor. And that's really what we learn from Abizrayu. And when you start to think about it, Misrapin, Meatze Asherah, right? These are things which aren't any act of Avodah Zarah whatsoever. Maybe it's Mechazik over Avodah Zarah, meaning maybe the Ode Avodah Zarah see you're using their Asherah tree. But Lemaisa, there's no worship of Avodah Zarah that takes place, not by you and not by anyone else, due to your Misrapin. But what the Baal Mor is saying, it doesn't matter. Associating with Avodah Zarah, the Cheftza Shel Avodah Zarah, is Mechayiv in Yahar Yavor. And that's what I was saying before, a third proof. The Baal Mor's other case that he brings up is the Gemara in Ayin Heyam and Aleph, Hele Belibotina. The case of Hele Belibotino, involved after the first stage of the Gemara, involves no Gila Raz whatsoever. Misaper Me'achar Agedar, just Tamor Aruma, no Gila Raz whatsoever. But the association with the Chefza, Shel, Gila Raz, is what's Mechayiv in Yehargla Yavor, in that Gemara also. So that's what the Baal Mor's sheet is. And again, Lu Yitzuyer, if you could have such a case, that you would have Gilu Arayos be mamish happen without there being a Maisa Avera, so you would still have the din of Yehag VeYavor. The example, you have a katan who's a Chere Shota or a katan, whatever, who's Ma'anis, an Isha. So, and assume that the katan has no Maisa Avera, unlike the assumption that we built up when we started Perek Ben Sora Mor. So there's no Maisa Avera at all, and not on either end, because he's a katan, so he doesn't have das, so he doesn't have Maisa Avera. She's an isha, so we're assuming karka olam, and she's passive, so there's no Maisa Avera whatsoever. So you're talking, according to this, the Baal Mor will tell you, there's still a chiyav of Yehag Le'Yavor. There's still a chiyav of Yehag Le'Yavor. It's not the Maisa Avera on either side, which is Mechayev and Yehag Le'Yavor. It's the Cheftza Shel Isser, the Cheftza Shel Avod Zarah, the Cheftza Shel Gilei Raios, which is Mechayiv in Yehargva Yavor. And so that applies even in the case of Kvaki Dimyoniki, even though it's taka true that it's only Lifnei Iver, but Lifnei Iver is still the association with the facilitation of the Avod Zarah, and therefore it's Yehargva Yavor. Not because the Baal Mor thinks Lifnei Iver is Avod Zarah, but because he thinks the Mechayiv is not a Maisa Avod Zarah. The Mechayiv is the Cheftza Shel Avod Zarah. Or, in other words, is it that we don't need a Maisa Avera Avodah Zarah, or is that we already have a Maisa Avera Avodah Zarah? According to the Ramban, we have Maisa Avera Avodah Zarah in front of us. If you do Lifnei Iver, it's actually maybe the it doesn't work, the don't need already have. According to, it's the two ways to say the Baal Mor are don't need already have. The one way to say the Baal Mor like Rabbi Chanan is that we already have, here you go, you already have the Maisa Avera Avodah Zarah, because Lifnei Iver is the Maisa Avera Avodah Zarah. That's how to say it according to the Rabbi Chanan. According to us, we're saying, no, you don't need a Maisa Avera Avodah Zarah, you only need a Cheftza of Avodah Zarah. If you're being in association and you're facilitating a Cheftza Shel Avodah Zarah, that's enough to be Mechayiv in Yehag Le'Yavor, and that's gonna put you into the problem in the first place. All of this Lechora boils down to, again, this isn't fully worked out, but Lechora boils down to the initial machlokas, Ramban and Baal Mor. Meaning, if you conceive of the whole concept of Yehag VeYavor by Gilmul Chamor as like the Ramban, then in order to prove that something's Yehag VeYavor, you have to prove that the guy is doing a Maisa Avera, which is so Chamor, that it's mechayiv in yahag v'yavor, because the gimel chamuras are mechayiv in yahag v'yavor because there's such a chamadika ma'isa avera. If you don't have a ma'isa avera, why would it be yahag v'yavor? Why would it be yahag v'yavor? You didn't have the ma'isa avera. Like we said in the Rivam by Karka Olam, right? You wouldn't have a ma'isa avera. You wouldn't have yahag v'yavor. But if you say no, the mechayiv in kiddush Hashem by the gimel chamuros, you hear me? The mechayiv in gimel chamuros by kiddush Hashem. Even there, it's not the ma'isa avera that's so chamer. It's the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah being violated. That this HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah versus this guy. So whether you do an action, or whether it happens a memela, or whether you're just associating with the Chavetz Shalva de Zara, you would still have to entertain the possibility of Kiddush Hashem and deal with Yehag Vayavor in such a case. So Lechora, those two deos really are just a representation or an iteration of the earlier machlokas between the Balamor and the Ramban, the fundamental machlokas as to what's the Machayiv in Kiddush Hashem. Yeah.
It's not that we view it as if you violated the Aveira of Avodah Zarah. It's that part of your obligation to not do Avodah Zarah is to make sure that other people don't do Avodah Zarah.
Yes, that's what the Rebbe Hanan offers in terms of, in general, if an Aveira. It's not so easy to say that by Gayim, because that, we assume, comes from Hochech Tochiach Arvas. Like Arvas in the negative. I mean, the same way Yatza Motzi in positive, we also have Arvas to the negative, but probably from Hochech Tochiach, which the Rebbe Hanan says himself. You don't have that by Gayim. So it's not as pasha to say that lamdas.
But by Nazir, I'm saying by Nazir.
By Nazir, okay, yeah.
By Nazir, so the shot there is that if there's Megala, that part and parcel of, I mean, you're not a Nazir, but you could become a Nazir, so part and parcel of your obligation to not drink wine is to make sure that a Nazir doesn't drink wine.
But it's hard to say. Meaning, let's say you have someone who's not a bar chiyuva in Kiddush, they would not be able to, or bar chiyuva in something, they're not able to be motzi. Let's say you're not a bar chiyuva in Sfiras Omer, for according to those Rishonim, you're not able to be motzi someone in the Sfiras Omer, or the bracha in Sfiras Omer. Why? Because yatsa motzi only applies to a bar chiyuva. You have to be shaykh to it. So it's true that a person can become a nazir, but there's not, as they stand now, they have no shaykhs to mitzvahs nazir. So it's hard to say my chiyuv of Naziris entails not only me not drinking wine, but also him not drinking wine. You have to say like my Jewishness, which it could be you'll say. It's just a little bit of a step further. My Jewishness, the fact that I could become a Nazir, includes the fact that I should make sure no one else violates their Naziris either. I don't know, that's definitely a step further. And then you have to talk about technicalities. Let's say a person for some reason isn't able to become a Nazir. So he doesn't have the Lifnei Iver? Of course he does. But yeah, Enachnam, you have to, that's what I said before, you'll have to say something a little more lamdish to try to, because there are Rishonim who say it's an Isser Prati in each Lav, and there are Rishonim for sure, Rav Chana says it. So there's obviously a way to say it, but just the Pshutim Shal Dvarim is not like that. The Pshutim Shal Dvarim is that it's Aser to be Machshel a Jew in his Isurim, but it's not, you're not involved in the Isser of Nazir. Is in the context of the Ramban responding, or I guess reacting to the Baal Mor's claim that the case of Lanaz Atmo is a p'tur even by Gimel Chamuros, Gila Rayos, for example. So the Ramban brings two Rayos for his side, that again, that Hanaz Atmo is not an exemption for Gila Rayos or the Gimel Chamuros. He brings two Rayos. One is the Gemara in Kedushin on Daf Men. The Gemara in Kedushin there says that both Rav Kahana and Rav Tzadok were, I guess, seemingly they were most nefesh to avoid Gila Raus, because Rav Kahana had this Matronisa, this powerful woman, who wanted to be Mizana with him, she was chasing him to be Mizana with him. It would have been completely Lahanas Atzma. It wasn't Laha Viro Aladas. It would have been completely Laha Nasa. And yet he ran, he's the one who kind of ran to the roof and jumped off, I think. So Rav Kahana ran to the roof and jumped off to avoid the Isser. The Gemara says he didn't die. Eliyahu Navi caught him and saved him. Rav Tzadok was also getting pressured by a Matronisa. He ran into an oven. And in both cases, it seems like they were preemptively willing to kill themselves, give up their lives, rather than violate the Isser of Arayos, rather than violate the Avera. So those two Gemaras are seemingly Rayos Beruah, says the Ramban, that there's a chiyuv yahag v'yavor by Gila Rayos, even if it's Lanaz Atzman. Klar? Easy. That's it seems like open shut case. So what does the Baal HaMaor do with those rayos? How do you read the Gemara? So at the time, Rav Twersky offered an answer, which is a technical answer. It's a technical pshat. But the technical pshat is megala, something a little bit more yesodistic slash important practically. Rav Twersky suggested that the Baal HaMaor might read the Gemara. Let's start with Rav Kahana. When Rav Kahana ran to the roof and jumped off, so is it obvious that he was going to kill himself? Maybe it was a low roof, and he was gonna, maybe he'll break a leg, maybe he'll get injured, but he wasn't necessarily gonna die. The Gemara didn't say that he was gonna kill himself, the Gemara says he was gonna jump off the roof. Okay, so that was his easiest way of escape. It shows a tremendous amount of Mesiris Nefesh, colloquially speaking, that he gave made a sacrifice on his physical well-being to jump off the roof, but he wasn't trying to be Nerag in order to avoid the Avera by jumping, he was gonna injure himself by jumping off the roof. Now, again, technical pshat in the Gemara, meaning maybe the Baal HaMaor just is forced to read the Gemara that way. But one raya lechach in terms of the read of the Gemara, is that there's a diyun in the Gedolei HaPoskim. It starts in the Rishonim. I think Tosfos and Maseches Gittin on Daf and Zayin deal with this already. Whether we know Yehar Ve'Yavor, we were talking about this in Seder, we know Yehar Ve'Yavor, we know that's the din. But should a person preemptively kill themselves, commit suicide to avoid doing the Gimel Chamurus preemptively? I mean, if a guy puts a gun to the head, a loaded gun, and says, do Avodah Zarah or not, I'll kill you. So then fine, the person has to say, I won't do anything. But can the person take a gun, his own gun, and shoot himself? Can a person jump off the roof and kill himself in such a case? So that's a discussion, Rahman al-Tzlan, historically speaking, which was relevant to Halacha L'maisa, that the Rishonim and the Achronim deal with it as machlokas, there's a deos on both sides. So let's say you assume like the Ramban, that the Gemara in Kiddushin is a clear raya, that Rav Kahana jumped off the roof in order to kill himself to avoid doing a rayos with this Matronisa. So isn't that Gemara then an absolutely open and shut, clear, black and white proof that a person is allowed to preemptively kill themselves in order to avoid an Avera? Meaning an Avera that's Yehar Ve'Yavar. Isn't that just open and shut? There's no other reason between the Gemara. He was willing to proactively kill himself. The Matronisa didn't have a knife, or if she did, whatever, she wasn't up to slicing his throat yet. And he chose to jump off the roof, so he preemptively killed himself to avoid Gila Raya. So isn't that a Raya Barura for those Rishonim and those Poskei Achronim also who say that you're allowed to do such a thing? So it is, unless the Gemara isn't obviously a case in which someone was trying to kill themselves. Maybe for the Ramban it is a proof, because the Ramban is the one who thinks the Gemara reads that way. But if you don't think that it's permissible to jump off the roof and kill yourself in order to avoid Gila Raios, you have to have a pshat in this Gemara. So maybe that's a hechrech to learn, like we're saying in the Baal HaMaor, that the pshat is that Rav Kahana wasn't trying to kill himself, he was just trying to injure himself by jumping off the roof. And in such a case, obviously it's permissible to risk some physical well-being to avoid an aver, which is Yehar Ve'Yavor. It doesn't prove that you're allowed to kill yourself, commit suicide, or have to commit suicide, chas v'shalom, to avoid the aver. It's a little bit harder in the story of Rav Tzadok because he jumps into an oven. It's just hard to imagine. Like, I don't know if he's just willing to get a little bit of a tan. I don't know what the other side is. But unless you read the Gemara that when he jumped into the oven, the lady backs down when she sees him jump in. She's like, whoa, if you're going to be so extreme about it, I'll back off. So maybe Anna Hanami, if she wouldn't have backed off, he would have come out and said, like, he's not allowed to kill himself in order to avoid the Avera and whatever, maybe also it wouldn't be a proof that Lana's Atzmon is still, right? I mean, you have a lot of things to prove there, but it could be that Gemara also is only because she relented, he came out right away, but he wouldn't have stayed in there forever and killed himself. So you could try to learn the Gemara that way also, but Al-Karfi, you have to say something in this Gemara to avoid the Ramban's Raya, that in these cases it was Yerhag Ve'Yavor, even for Lana's Atzma. Yeah, in this context, the Ramban also says, "V'lo matzis lememar lifnim yeshur esedin devadel havakatan nafshei lav dina havai." So you can't say that Rav Kahana, Rav Tzadok, that they were doing lifnim yeshur esedin a mizus chasidus chumra, that they were willing to kill themselves, even though technically speaking they didn't have to kill themselves. You can't say such a thing. Why? Because vade they wouldn't have killed themselves. It was just a lifnim yeshur esedin. So I think the Ramban here is showing his hand. That he agrees with the Rambam. There's a famous machlokas Rambam and Balei Tosfos. The Shulchan Aruch passes like Balei Tosfos, but the Rambam assumes it's clear in Yisod HaTorah. The Rambam assumes that if a person is in a situation of Yav or of Ayeharig, he's not only allowed to save his life, he must save his life. He is not allowed to volunteer to give up his life. In a case of Ya'av or Ve'ayaharig, that's also Mischayiv B'Nafsho, to give up your life when it's not demanded. And that's, whatever, it's obvious. Meaning, if the halacha is that you don't have to give up your life, you have to save your life. That's another, that's the Chai Bahem. If the halacha is that you have to give up your life, you have to give up your life. And that's when the Chai Bahem is gone. So in such a case, it would be Aser. The Baalei Tosfos assume that Mishum Kiddush Hashem, a person is allowed to make that choice of being Moser Nefesh if they think it will result in a Kiddush Hashem, even though, technically speaking, they may have had a Ptur of Ya'av or of Al Yeharek. So one ha'ara we had during Seder, I don't remember, it might have been a repair, was the Ramban. This Ramban is not necessarily a raya that he agrees across the board with Rambam, right? Because the Ramban is talking about a specific case. Again, we went through how this is very important. But the Ramban is assuming this din of not going with Mishra Sedin, dafka by a case where they were going to proactively, preemptively kill themselves to avoid the Avera. So there the Ramban says, Vadai, they won't kill themselves proactively, preemptively, when it's just lifnim mishur sadin. It's possible, again, you have to figure out why there's a chiluk. It's possible that the Ramban is saying, to mamish preemptively commit suicide, that a person couldn't do unless it was the ikar adin. But if a person was being asked, either violate Avodah Zarah or I will shoot you, and they have to passively decide whether they should do it, so if it's Yahar V'Yahar, the answer is obvious. If it's Ya'av or V'Yaharig, even though they, technically speaking, don't have to give up their lives, maybe passively you are allowed to volunteer, like the Baalei Tosfos. So if you say like that pshat, then there's really three opinions in the Rishonim. The Rambam thinks you can never volunteer. The Tosfos always think you could volunteer as long as it's a case of Kiddush Hashem. And the Ramban will tell you can volunteer v'chi agadim that you're passively going to be killed, but you can't volunteer to go ahead and kill yourself proactively, preemptively, in order to make a Kiddush Hashem. So that's an Otzarchi, and if the Ramban is actually clearly holding like the Rambam, or he's representing yet a third Shita in the Rishonim. Anyone see anyone who talks about that? I didn't look in the Ramban. No. So we've been assuming until now that it's Pashut, we only mentioned it briefly, but we assume that it's Pashut, that the cases of Farhesya and the case of Shas HaShmad are Mishum Kiddush Hashem. Those are V'nikdash Tibisof B'nei Yisrael. And the only question we were wondering about was whether the Gimel Chamuros, when you have to give your life for those things, even Bitzina, are those also Mechayiv Kiddush Hashem, or those are because it's such a Chamerdik Iser that you have to give up your life for Kiddush Hashem in such a case. So what's the Mechayiv in Kiddush Hashem? By the big three, Machlokes Baalam or Ramban. The Rambam is very hard to figure out because he says things which sound like it's about the Chamiras HaAvon, but he clearly inserts the Chiyuv of Yahag Vayavor by the big three into the cases of Enigdashti B'Soch B'nei Israel. That's obvious. So we're not going to go into this now, but for the Rambam, you have to figure out a way to say basically that the Mechayiv in Yahag Vayavor by the Gimel Chamuros is the Chamiras HaAvon, whatever the Gzeres HaKasavs represent and the Svaras represent on Ayin Dalar Amin Aleph. Once that's true, it becomes a question of Kiddush Hashem to give up your life. But you have to say something fancy in the Rambam to solve the issue. Okay, but we're not going to spend time in the Rambam right now. But if you go to the Gemara, Rashi, maybe, it's not clear. Rashi maybe represents a different gang entirely, no? The Gemara tells us that there's a Pasuk, V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, and we learn from V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, B'chol levav, B'chol nafsh, B'chol modecha, that there's a chiv of Mesiris Nefesh, of Yahag V'yavor, by Avodah Zarah. So Rashi says, V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha. What is that drasha? It's about a havas Hashem. So Rashi says, no, it's a mashmas. V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, mashma shelo tmirenu ba'avodas kachavim. That the din of v'ahavta l'erech kamocha, the mitzvah of v'ahavta l'erech kamocha, is such that a person can't trade Hashem for another god. You have to love Hashem exclusively. You have to love Hashem so much that there's no other option, there's no other god that you would trade him for. Memela yehar le'yavor, by the case of Avodah Zarah. So why is this Rashi important? So maybe this Rashi is important because maybe he's telegraphing to us that he thinks differently about the mitzvah of Avodah Zarah. What's the Mechayiv in Yehar Le'Yavor? The Gemara, but it's easier in the Taras Kanim, but the Gemara at least also in some case assumes that the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, let's say like this, the Pasuk of Kiddush Hashem, V'nikdashti B'Soch B'nei Yisrael, is clearly about Rabbim. That's what we learn in Ayin Dalet Ambeis. V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, toch from the Meraglim, that you need an Eda of Klal Yisrael to have a chiyuv of v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, a quorum of ten Jewish men makes up a soch b'nei Yisrael, correct? So, just in terms of the pasuk of v'nikdashti, it's clearly about a case of be'asara, who are witnessing or whatever, who are witnessing or know about. That's a discussion in the Rishonim Achronim, whether Farhesia, was Esther really Farhesia? It was in a locked room. Only somebody who was called in or got lucky enough that Achashverosh let them in without being called in was there. So what does it mean, Farhesia? So either the Pshat and Farhesia, the Shach talks about this in Yeraday, either the Pshat and Farhesia, it's important to see the meat you read about this as well, I think, on the page. Either the Din of Farhesia means not that you have to have 10 people witness it, but rather that 10 people know about it. It was in the news the next day that Esther was with Achashverosh. That's also Farhesia. The whole world knows. It's public knowledge. Or no, do we need 10 people to witness it? That question is probably dependent upon how we look at the Chiv of Asara. Is the Chiv of Asara that we need 10 people to know about it so that's public knowledge? Or is the Chiv of Asara, the pshat is that it has to be, this is a fascinating thing, when there's Kol be'asara shchinta sharia, the Gemara in Sanhedrin earlier tells us, Kol be'asara asira shchinta sharia, when you have 10 Jewish men, the Shechina resides in that presence. So when there's such a concentrated existence and presence of Shechina in the room, then the Mechayev of Kiddush Hashem kicks in. So you need 10 there are other nafkaminas. What if there are 10 people, one of them sleeping? I mean, do you need all the dinim of minyan in order to have 10 for Farhesia? So either way, the assumption of Pasuk means B'soch B'nai Yisrael B'rabim. And it's clear from Chazal and Taras Kohanim that the actual mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem in its fullest can only really apply B'rabim. And if that's the case, how do you understand, let's say, Avodah Zarah B'tzina? How do you understand that? So, okay, yeah, you have to give some answer for all the other Rishonim. I understand. But maybe Rashi is bothered by that. Maybe Rashi understands Kiddush Hashem can only exist B'rabim. Kiddush Hashem can only exist B'rabim. Pshutu k'mashmo. V'nikdashti b'sof b'nei Yisrael. B'rabim, 10 Jewish men witnessing or knowing about it. So says Rashi, when it comes to Avodah Zarah B'tzina, how is it Yahar V'yavar? There's no Mechayev of Kiddush Hashem. Says Rashi, the Mechayev is not Kiddush Hashem. The Mechayev is V'yahavtas Hashem Elokecha. It has nothing to do with Kiddush Hashem. You can't stray from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and worship other forms of gods with lowercase g. The mechayev in Yahar V'yavar of Avodah Zarah is such that it's mechayev you even b'tzina, because it's not about Kiddush Hashem. If it was about Kiddush Hashem, it would only be b'farhesia. It's about v'yahavta Hashem Elokecha, having exclusive love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ashtikol ishitaso. Because the Gemara is going to go on and say, what do you mean? B'shas Hashmad. It could be B'tzina. B'shas Hashmad B'tzina. You still have a Mechayev of Yahar V'yavor. So isn't that Misham Kiddush Hashem? And if that's Misham Kiddush Hashem B'tzina, so then you still have a problem, because the pasuk sounds like it's Rabim. Rashi can't understand the other Teretz. So what's the Pshat in the Gemara? So if you look at the bottom of the page, the Rashi, the last one on the page, Rashi says, V'afilu mitzvah kal Yahar V'yavor. In the case of B'shas Hashmad, even a mitzvah kal, shelo yargilu halv de kachavim lahamech es levavos lekaf. Maybe Rashi's intimating here too that this idea of Yehar Le'Yavar B'Shas Hashmad has got nothing to do with Kiddush Hashem. It's that we don't want to create a scenario in which the Akums can just run over us and tell us to do whatever they want, whenever they want. So Lo Lahamrich, to make sure that this shouldn't happen, that Klal Yisrael is totally subjected to the whim, to the wit and the whim, I don't know which one's the right word, of the Gayim, that they can be Machshals in every single Aveira, so you have to draw the line somewhere. But it's not Mishum Kiddush Hashem. It's to force an end, a halt, to the possibility of this continuing with no end in sight. That's also why Rashi, this is all the Shitaso maybe, on Amud Beis, Rashi thinks Arkasa de Masana applies even to a Minag Ba'alma. Because you can't imagine a Minag Ba'alma being Shaykh to Kiddush Hashem, Minag Dashti Yisof B'nai Yisrael, but once it's not a question only of Kiddush Hashem, but it's also a question sometimes of Shas Hashmash, Shalol Lahamrech HaSalavavos, so if the Gayim are asking you to change Minhagim, that could also lead to a tremendous Hisrashlus in all of the Dine Torah. So Shalol Lahamrech HaSalavavos, we're commanded to give up our lives, even for Arkas of the Masani, according to Rashi, just a Minag Ba'alma, a Minag of Tznias, but a Minag Ba'alma nonetheless, in order to avoid the ultimate Lahamrech HaSalavavos.
What's Kiddush Hashem? What's the definition of Kiddush Hashem? Not meaning like defending Torah in the face of pushing away from Torah. And why is that the Gayim wouldn't be able to go all over us and make us not?
Yeah.
Why
isn't that Kiddush Hashem?
Kiddush Hashem other than
Kiddush Hashem is when 10 Jewish men are in the room and a guy tells you to violate such and such avera.
Something that's more be'etzen.
Yeah.
The fact that the avera is done in front of so many people.
Oh, sorry. You're saying because it's going to be in Isgala to a public situation? That's what you're asking? Okay. A more technical question?
How can we say that there's...
Kiddush Hashem means that I walk into the room, there's 10 people here, and the guy says, talk Lashon Hara, or eat the treif. So now I'm in the public domain, so I have a chiv of Kiddush Hashem. But the chiv of Shas Hashmad is not that. The chiv of Shas Hashmad is to stop the total corrosion and disappearance of any Jewish sovereignty over our own keeping of Torah mitzvos. A separate din.
Why is the Vahat of Shemakatha thing different than just saying it's kind of the chomer of this particular era? Avodah Zarah is very chomer because it's being
I'm not sure this is exclusive to saying that. Yeah.
It could, right.
I mean, they're definitely, the Ramban and Rashi are definitely similar in the sense that Kiddush Hashem is not the Mechayiv.
Yeah.
And then whether the Ramban and the Rashi are saying the same thing or the same thing differently or different things, I think you could work on. But it could be the same thing differently, that the Chamir is Avod Zara is such that you have to love him intensely and exclusively.
Is the Shas Shemad in the Ramban? I mean, the Ramban are telling
us? I don't think so.
So what is
driving Yeah. I don't know the answer. I don't know. You need a pasuk, you're saying. Like, but we have to, we have a pasuk. So what's the pshat by Rashi? By Shas Hashmad. I don't know. Good question. Think about that. Okay, just a little more short ha'aros, please, if I could get through them. So we have a svara on 9 Dalet Amud Aleph of my chazis by Shvichas Damim, which leads us into Gilei Rez, but for Shvichas Damim to start. So my chaz dama didach sumak tvei. How do I know my blood is redder than yours, and therefore I can save myself over your life? So what's the pshat in my chazis? Can't you answer the question? There's a mishnah at the end of Maseches Horios which tells us the levels of Jews. A kohen is better than a levi is better than Yisrael, and Am Aretz is less than a talmid chacham. Meaning there's levels to a Jewish nefesh. So can't we just consult? If someone came over to you and said, Dani, I'm going to kill you if you don't kill Moshe. So we'll just do a cheshbon, meaning Dani's a Levi, and Moshe is a lawyer. So Avada his dam is hefker compared to Dani's is two strikes against him. So Avada his dam is hefker to Dani. So isn't that just an obvious way to be poshet the shaila? So Rabbi Chanan asked this question. You have it in Kovitz Shirim and Psachim in the beginning of Maseches Psachim. Osei, he asks this question. Couldn't we answer this question with the mission at the end of Horios? So Rabbi Chanan gives an answer there. But we're going to say a different mahalach from Rav Tversky, but I'll preface it with what Rabbi Chanan himself says, because I think either there are two alternative answers, or really they explain each other. Rabbi Chanan answers that Shevi Al-Taisa is different than Kumba Esei. Meaning, in the case of Horios, we're wondering, two people are drowning, a Levi and a Kohen, a Kohen and a Yisrael, whatever. So we say, we shots it up, which one should we leave there? We'll leave the lesser one there. So we can make a decision based on that when it's passive. But to actively kill someone based on a cheshbon like this, that we don't have a makor for. That's what Bochanan says. What Rav Tversky suggested, which I think ultimately boils down to the same background, is that what the Mishnah in Horios is telling us, it's not a value judgment. It's not telling us whose life is more valuable. Like Rashi talks about here, Yakara Neshama Achas Mi Yisrael. It's not telling us about the Yakras, the Yoker, of the Neshama of any Jew, that this one's more Yakar to HaKadosh Baruch than another one. It's telling us that the Halacha doesn't want to leave the decision up to people in any given scenario. So we give you objective guidelines. One is more Mekudosh than another, and therefore has Dine Kadima. But the Dine Kadima don't tell us, they don't telegraph to us, who is more Kadosh, who is more Yakar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not that Hashem likes Kohanim more than Levim. And therefore, you can answer the question of passively, like Rabbi Chanan filled in for us, passively, what should we do? We have a Shaila, what should we do? You can answer, don't leave this guy, rather leave that guy, passively. But actively, to tell us, we're trying to decide which neshama is more chaviva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my chazes didam didach sumak tvei, so that the Torah didn't tell us there's objective love of a Kadosh Baruch Hu for one neshama over another, so we can't make our decision, our case, based on the fact that the Torah gives us standards for a Shevi Al Taisa at the end of Maseches Horios. Fine, well, maybe one last hour, then we'll end. This is just a brief thing. The Gemara tells us on the end of Ayin Dalam Rav, going over Amud Beis, that b'shas hashmara filu mitzvah kala, you have to violate, you have to yehorg b'ayavor. So what's a mitzvah kala? So the Gemara says afilu shnuye arkas de mesana. So Rashi explains to us arkas de mesana means what, the shoelace or something, that the Jews wore a certain type of shoelace. Goyim wore a different type of shoelace. I don't know. Imagine Jews only wore black shoelaces. Why? Rashi says mipnei atznius. Because it was assumed to be somewhat of a value of modesty, you have to visualize it that way, some sort of modesty issue, that we wore more tame shoelaces or something. So even though it's just a minig Yisrael, but it's a minig that has a basis, it has teeth of tznius, so you'd have to give up your life on such a minig in a case of shas hashmad. Tysus learned differently. Tysus learned it's not really, it doesn't sound like it's a din in sneas. It sounds like it's just a technicality. It happens to be Jews wear this and Goyim wear that. If the Goyim are trying to make you wear the wrong color shoes, so then you have to give up your life in a shas hashmad. What's the pshat for Tosfos? Why do you have to give up your life if it's not a din of sneas? There's not even a value here. It's just the fact that you're dressing like the Goyim dress. So it doesn't sound like it's a chukas akam issue. So I don't know. The Chora has something to do with the Jewish identity. That if the Goyim are trying to put a gun to your head and say, stop identifying as a Jew, and they're asking you to try to blend in with the Goyim, so apparently that's something you have to, stake you have to fall on, you have to let yourself be killed, b'shas hashmad. When the Goyim are shmading us, and there's a gzera, so we have to give up our lives just to maintain Jewish identity. Not posh, you have to work out all the scenarios, whether this is true or not. There's definitely the Rambam's Igeres HaShmad is all about a situation where they're asking the Jews to just pretend they're Muslim, act like they're Muslim, and the Jewish identity question is relevant there too. But I do believe, we have to look this up, but I do believe that the Rav had a famous drasha, it's in Divrei Harav, I think, where he said that the Arkas of the Masana of our generation is the Israeli flag. Meaning the Israeli flag isn't inherently religious. It's not inherently valuable in terms of representing any halacha or even amidah tznius. But it is a Jewish identity issue. It is what the world Jewry identifies with as a semel, as a representation of what it means to be Jewish in the modern day. So to give up one's life for the state of Israel, for the Israeli flag, the way he puts it in his drasha, maybe is the Arkas de Masana of our generation. You know, whatever the drasha means, I think that relates to the way Tosfos are learning the sugya, that there's a Jewish identity question here when it comes to Arkas de Masana. I'm going to stop because we're out of time, but just so you know, Mar Makom, the Hagos Sinim points it out. But the Rambam doesn't have this. He says afilu mitzvah mena mitzvos. He never brings the idea of a minhag like Rashi. He never brings Tosfos' concept either. So the Or Sameach quotes a she'iltos. The she'iltos has a different girsa in our Gemara, not lishnuye arkas de masana, but lishruye arkas de masana. Lishruye like to be matir, to take off. So the she'iltos understands that the anus is it's weird. The anus is basically saying untie your shoe in front of an avodah zarah. So the Jew is going to bend down to untie his shoe, and it's going to look like he's bound to an avodah zarah. That would be a harag v'yavor. That's what the she'iltos seems to say. The Or Sameach says the Rambam doesn't understand that pshat. Why is that a mitzvah kala? Rather, the Or Sameach explains, it's very fascinating, he says, it's l'shruye arkas demsana, meaning you are told to untie your shoelace on Shabbos. Now, I have a question. Untying your shoelace on Shabbos is an isser, it's a malacha, like any other malacha, so why is it a mitzvah kala? So the Or Sameach says, mitzvah kal doesn't mean that something is objectively kal. It means that people perceive it as kal. Even though it's perceived as something very minimal, very minor, even so, you can't, and it's a, you know, it's mitzvot she b'nei adam dashim be'akevam, even so, you have to give up your life for l'shruye arkas ha'masani, even to untie your shoes on Shabbos, which was perceived as less important to Isser, I guess, at a certain time in history, then you still have to give up your life for that in the case of Shas HaShmat. So this is a different girsos and explanations of the girsos in our Gemara. Okay, we'll stop here.